thoughts between Narada and King Pachinibhari. Text 49. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Ashtirya Dharabai Prag Agrai Katsnyena Kshiti Mangalam Stabdo Brihad Vadan Mani Karma Naivaishi Yat Padam Tat Karma Aditosham Yat Sa Vidya Tanmatir Yaya Ashtirya Darbai Prag Agrai Kachnina Shiti Mandalam Stabda Brihatvadam Mani Karma Naivashi Yat Param Tatkama Haritosham Yat Savidya Tanmatirya. Translation. My dear king, the entire world is covered with the sharp points of kusha grass, and on the strength of this you have become proud because you have killed various types of animals and sacrifices. Because of your foolishness, you do not know that devotional service is the only way one can please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You cannot understand this fact. Your only activities should be those that can please the Personality of Godhead. Our education should be such that we become elevated to Krishna consciousness. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the great sage Narad Muni directly insults the king because he was engaged in performing sacrifices that entail the killing of a great number of animals. The king was thinking that he was great for having performed so many sacrifices, but the great sage Narada directly chastises him, informing him that his animal killing only leads to his being puffed up with false prestige. Actually, anything that is done which does not lead to Krishna consciousness is a sinful activity, and any education that does not lead one to understand Krishna is a false education. If Krishna consciousness is missing, one is simply engaged in false activities and false educational pursuits. Translation again. My dear king, the entire world is covered with the sharp points of kusha grass, and on the strength of this you have become proud because you have killed various types of animals and sacrifices. Because of your foolishness, you do not know that devotional service is the only way one can please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You cannot understand this fact. Your only activity should be those that can please the Personality of Godhead. Our education should be such that we can become elevated to Krishna consciousness. Oma gyan timidandasya ginam ginan shalakaya chakshurin militam jenatasmaya sigurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobishnam Shtapitam Jena Bhutale Shwayam Rupakadamayam Dadantishva Padantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shya Dvaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Om Ramahim Shrom Om Farom Tataka Hataka Kesha Gajalad Pataka Lochana Bindhadaka Nakashvar Shriva Singha Namostate. So in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, we see that Narada Muni is chastising his disciple, directly calling him a fool. Although in the material world, one would very rarely accept such a challenge. If someone calls you a fool in the material world, generally people don't accept that. But in spiritual life, a disciple welcomes such chastisement from his spiritual master. Why is that? Because a devotee realizes he's actually foolish. Because he sees very clearly the mess that he has got himself into. He knows that originally he was spiritual, although there still rages a debate in ISKCON if we come from Krishna's planet or if we come from the Brahman. Nonetheless, our original position was spiritual, eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. But now we have got this body, which is in effect a sign of our cardinal sin, just like the Christians, they call this the cardinal sin. The cardinal sin is what? That we have forgotten Krishna. We stated many times, we have become bahirmukha. Bahirmukha means you turn your face on someone. If you're speaking with someone, you're having a nice conversation, all of a sudden you just walk away. It's very impolite. The person's offended. So we're bahirmukha. This is how Kaviraj Goswami describes in Chaitanya Charitamrita. We have turned our face on God. We have come to this material world, our cardinal sin. And as a result of that cardinal sin, look at the mess that we have got ourselves in. We cannot be very intelligent. What do we have to be proud of? Just like a man in a jail, he wears a striped suit, at least in the old days. He had the black and white striped suit. So the spirit soul who rebels against God, he gets a material body. And what's worse, he's proud of it. Pride is actually the result of one's attachment to a material body. When we speak of pride, we see people who are proud. But what is the root source of pride? The root source of pride is attachment to a body, which is nothing more than a bag of bones and blood and flesh and mucus and hairs. This is what pride. Pride results simply from the attachment to a material body. It's like an aroma pride. You can see the body, but you can't see the... You don't necessarily see the pride immediately, but it's like if you get close, you can smell the aroma of something, just like garbage. Garbage has a particular aroma. So pride is the aroma of attachment. You see someone, you can't see they're proud. Get close enough to them, after a few minutes you'll see that this person's proud. We're speaking about materialistic people. Just like from a long distance, you can't smell garbage. You get close enough, the aroma is there. So pride is actually the aroma of attachment. And even birds and beasts have pride. Pride is not only in the human beings, it's a very animalistic quality. To be proud is actually a sign of one who is very much conditioned, very very much in the bodily concept of life, because we see pride is there even in ignorant beasts. For instance, the peacock, although in the spiritual world the peacock is Krishna's personal dance teacher. Prabhupada said one time, Krishna learns to dance from the peacocks because they're very nice dancers. You see that the peacock, because of his pretty feathers, he's very proud. There's a saying in the material world, just strut like a peacock. You see sometimes people who are dressed up, they're walking down the street like that. They're very puffed up. So we say, this person's strutting like a peacock. So a peacock, what is he proud of? He's proud of his feathers. So people are proud. What can you have to be proud of? You have to be proud of this material body. But what is this? What is there to be proud about in this body? Actually, after the soul leaves the body, they say that the total value of the elements, what's left of the body, is about $1.35. That's American. I don't know how that converts into Kiwis. Probably less, right? 80. The body is worth only $1.35, but a person is very much proud of his body. So the humility, one aspect of the humility of a Vaishnava is he doesn't show off the body. Materialistic persons, their pride is such, so they like to expose themselves. They think the body is very wonderful, so they dress in a very scanty way, they walk down the street, they think this is wonderful. But a Vaishnava doesn't show off the body. The attractive qualities about a devotee actually is their good qualities. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to see the great Prakashananda Saraswati, he's a great Mayavadi. He was surrounded by so many great scholars, erudite personalities. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went there, he went there dressed only in a loincloth. He had nothing else. Just his loincloth and his danda. He had nothing. But because he was so pure, his purity radiated just like the sun, and the Mayavadis were attracted. Actually, when Prakashananda saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was immediately attracted, because what was the effulgence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually the Brahman effulgence. So they were monists, they were attracted to the Brahman. They saw the Brahman. Oh, here is the Brahman emanating from the divine personality of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they could understand actually there was something higher than the Brahman. There was the personality of Godhead. So immediately Prakasananda Saraswati accepted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the supreme personality of Godhead. So what was attractive about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He was only wearing a loincloth. He had nothing. Nothing but an old rag around his waist. But he was so attractive because of his purity. So what actually is attractive is Vaishnav qualities, not the gross material body. So one of the most attractive qualities about a devotee is his humility. Just as pride is the aroma of attachment, so humility is the perfume of renunciation. Of course, devotees don't wear perfume, but nonetheless we can see that their humility attracts everyone. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan also, they had very few material possessions, but they had humility. And because of that humility, which means that they were not actually envious of any other living entity, they were attractive both to the gentle and the ruffians. Dira dira jana priyo, priyo karo, nirmat saro pujito. It's described that they were attractive both with the gentle and with the ruffians. Although they possessed nothing, because they possessed that beautiful aroma of humility, everyone was attracted. Just like you see a devotee from a distance, neither can you judge him very carefully. But you get close to that devotee, and his association is very sweet, just like perfume is very sweet. So you get close to a devotee, and you want to be around him, because that aroma of humility is actually very attractive. So a devotee, he possesses this most wonderful quality of humility, which actually, in that verse of Shikshastakam, Trinadapi Suni Chena, that to become more humble than a blade of grass. This particular line is emphasized even more than the other lines in that verse. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that one should wear that verse, Trinadapi Sanichana, Todapi Sahisana, Amanina, Manirana, Kirtani Yad Sadahari. One should wear that verse just like an ornament around one's mind. Sometimes you see in India, actually, I know one of our Matajis, Kishori Mataji in France, she has tattooed around her neck in Bengali, Trinadapi Suni Chano Tarapi Sahisana Amani Namanya Kirtani Yasadahari. She took it literally. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's statement that one should wear this verse as a garland around one's body, around one's mind. I saw a boy yesterday at the Food for Life. Have you seen that boy? He's got a tattoo, skull and bones. Huh? You want to do something? Skull and bones and the Confederate American flag around. It's just ghastly. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, we should wear this verse particularly around our minds. So Kishori Mataji, she actually had it tattooed, like low like this. The Indian ladies do that in Bengal sometimes. So a devotee, he possesses this humility, and actually a devotee is devoid of pride. You won't find pride in a devotee. Just like good gold, it never tarnishes. So similarly, you'll never see pride in a devotee. Second-class gold, like 18-karat gold, like that, after a while it actually tarnishes. But first-class 24-karat gold, it takes many years for it to tarnish. So in the same way, in the character of a devotee, he'll never become tarnished by pride, because he possesses that ornament, that real ornament of humility. And Krishna doesn't like to see pride in his devotees. Although there may be some remnant there in the heart, Krishna is not at all satisfied when he sees pride in his devotees. Because pride is the most important stumbling block to overcome, because it simply means that one is still attached to this gross body. And for a Vaishnava, that's very embarrassing. The ABCs of spiritual life are that we are not this body, that we are spirit soul. So if a devotee manifests some attachment to this body in any way, means, or manner, actually it's very embarrassing. It's a blemish on that devotee's transcendental character. So Krishna likes his devotees because his devotees are his representatives. It's through the devotees that people come to Krishna. So Krishna doesn't want his devotees to be proud, to be tarnished with this quality of the bodily concept of life, so he arranges to smash their pride, actually. He arranges to smash that pride. He doesn't like to see that in his devotees. Just like we saw in the play the other day, we had a little spider. He had a cobweb on his face. And that little spider, he was working there along with Hanuman, throwing in little pieces of sand, and Hanuman was throwing in boulders into the ocean to Lanka. And Hanuman said, what is this? With my strong muscles, I am throwing in boulders. And what are you doing, little spider? Kicking in some little pieces of sand. What is this? Oh, that was pride. He was thinking that his service was better than someone else's service. He was thinking like this. What is this? My service is so important than this devotee's service. Another manifestation of pride. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Amanina Manadina, that we should offer all respect to other devotees and not expect any respect for ourselves. Actually, when you criticize somebody else, generally you point your finger at them. You're actually pointing three fingers at yourself. So when you're pointing at someone, just see what that person's doing. You should look at your hand. You've got three fingers pointing right at you. See? So to actually be able to see this bad quality in somebody else means that that quality must be in you. Otherwise, how can you recognize it? How do you know what it is? So we shouldn't fault find. Hanuman, of course, is a great devotee of the Lord. This is a pastime, of course, but it was arranged by the Supreme Lord Ramachandra just to show that he appreciates the service of all his devotees. So what did he do? He smashed the pride of his devotee. He chastised him. Chastisement is a form of smashing the unwanted qualities in the heart of the devotee. Similarly, Radharani also exhibited some pride. Of course, these great devotees simply exhibit these qualities to show us how to take good instruction and overcome it, because generally, as it's been stated, one cannot accept chastisement in the material world, but a devotee is very eager to receive chastisement because he wants to remove those bad qualities from his heart. So Radharani, she was stolen away by Krishna as his favorite gopi. Aradhana, she's actually mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Although she's Krishna's favorite gopi, it's such an exalted subject matter, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, that Shukadeva Goswami, he hesitated to comment on the exalted personality, not feeling himself qualified. He hesitated to comment on the exalted personality of Srimati, although his Bij mantra was actually Radharani's name, Shukadeva Goswami. He mentions her as Aradhana, that favorite amongst all the gopis. So actually it was seen that Radharani was the favorite of Krishna's gopis, because during the Rasa dance, Krishna stole her away. He left all the other gopis for Radharani. So Radharani was traveling with Krishna. Actually, she was riding on his shoulders. She was up, like sometimes you see a devotee get up on the shoulders and they have those bites. I was wondering what was going to happen next last night, but something like this could have happened. And then everybody, like piggyback, transcendental piggyback. He got up, Krishna was carrying away. But Krishna, Radharani, thinking, ah, yes, I am Krishna's favorite. Died in the heart of his favorite gopi. So what he did is he went under a tree that had a low, and Radharani had to grab onto that branch, and Krishna kept going, and she was left there swinging, hanging like this. So in this way, he smashed her pride. She fell down, and then the other gopis came, and she lamented that she was thinking in this way, of course, just for us. Srila Prabhupada also smashed the pride of one of his devotees one time, one of his disciples. This was a temple president in Los Angeles, and Prabhupada could detect that this temple president was beginning to think that maybe he was a little special or something. So Prabhupada was sitting with him, and he told him a story. He said that the great Mahavishnu lies down in the vast causal ocean, and from the pores of his skin emanate quadrillions and billions of universes. In one of those trillions and billions and quadrillions of universes is our little universe. And within our universe is a solar system in which there are many, many millions and millions of planets. And one of those planets is called the planet Earth. And on that great planet Earth, there are seven huge continents of landmass. And On one of those continents is the United States of America. And in the United States of America, there are many huge cities like New York, Miami, and Denver, and Seattle, and one called Los Angeles. And in Los Angeles, about a half an hour to fly over the city. You looked out the window one side, all you saw was lights in one direction and lights in the other direction. It's such a huge city. So Prabhupada said, in the vast, huge city of Los Angeles, there's many streets. And on one street called La Cienega Avenue, there are many houses. And in one house, the Hare Krishna temple, there are many rooms. And in one room, there's one temple president sitting there, and he is thinking that he's a very significant person, that he's a very important person. So Prabhupada just showed how vast is this huge creation, how great it is, and there was one person sitting in one tiny little iota of a corner of that creation, thinking, I am very important. I won't tell you who that devotee is. Actually, he's a very nice, he's still with us, he's a very nice devotee. He took the instruction to heart. He took the chastisement to heart. The sign of a learned man is that he realizes actually he doesn't know very much. How little he actually knows. This is described, Bengali proverb, Vidyata Dati Vinayam, that actual education, learning, is meant to make one gentle and humble. So only spiritual education can do that. Because as Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes, material education makes one more foolish than an ass. By material education, one thinks that he can conquer over and control everything. But by spiritual education, one actually learns how insignificant he is. By understanding the greatness of God, we understand our insignificant position. We've discussed this before. Sunrises, and you're sitting there, a little tiny person on the mountain watching it, and you realize how small you are. So in the same way, the sign that one has actually become spiritually advanced, become a God-realized soul, is not that he thinks he's great, but because he's actually understood the greatness of God, he feels himself very low and very insignificant, very dependent upon the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Vidya Dadati Vinayam. Real learning is actually meant to make one gentle and humble. Just like Sanatana Goswami. When Sanatana Goswami approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was his spiritual master, he said that people were thinking that I am a great personality. And actually, Sanatana Goswami knew so many things. He knew Arabic, he knew Persian, he knew Sanskrit, he knew logic, he knew astrology, astronomy. There were so many sciences, both material and spiritual, that Sanatana Goswami knew. But when he presented himself before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, I'm a fool because I don't know who I am. I know so many things, but I don't know who I am. So what is the value of all my knowledge? So please accept me as your disciple. So such a disciple is the pride of the spiritual master. If pride is there, it can be there in the fact, in a spiritual way. So he was presenting himself as a fool, but he was the pride of his Guru Maharaj because he possessed an ornament of humility. Just like someone might be proud of the material world to have a very valuable ornament, a big piece of gold, he may be proud. So a spiritual master is actually proud of Krishna consciousness, such as humility. Vetatvam samyutat sarvam tatvatas tadanagrahat. And because you are submissive, your spiritual masters have endowed with you all the favors bestowed upon a gentle disciple. So to bring us to this point of true humility, whereby we can actually receive the mercy of the Supreme Lord and His devotees, sometimes it's necessary that the spiritual master chastise the disciple to remove the cancer of all these misconceptions. Just like a doctor. When you go to a doctor, you don't really expect, do you, that the doctor is going to say, yeah, everything's okay. But doc, it really hurts. No, no, everything's just peachy keen dandy. Everything's really nice. Don't you worry. But doctor, it really hurts. So when a disciple actually approaches the spiritual master, although we do want to get the, we're also ready. All right, open up. Tell me what's wrong. Just like the doctor, his mercy is that he points out the disease, but he's also capable of curing the disease. He's also capable of curing it. So we don't mind to open our hearts to the spiritual master. We're not embarrassed because we know that's not our real self. Our real self is Jivar Swarupoya Krishna, Jivar Jivarasup, Hoya, Krishna, and Nityadas were the eternal servants of Krishna. Whatever helped it, knows the process how to correct it. Just like you go to the doctor, you have faith that although it's going to hurt a little bit, he knows what he's doing, and he's going to cure that particular problem. So we don't go to the doctor to have him say everything's all right. Just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, the one who flatters me, actually he's my enemy. I'm already flattered enough. Just like Prabhupada said, there's no need to take intoxication. We're already intoxicated. Intoxication means you become bewildered, you become illusioned. We're already intoxicated because we have this bodily concept of life. I've taken birth in this material world, I think I'm the body, I think I can enjoy like anything. We're already completely intoxicated. There's no need to take any more intoxication. So there's no need to be flattered anymore. We've flattered ourselves enough. We've flattered ourselves till we're blue in the face in this material. It hasn't got us anywhere. What we need to know is where we are illusion. So sometimes the spiritual master is soft like a rose, and sometimes strong like a thunderbolt. So then one may say, yes, but my spiritual master has never really chastised me. I only see him once or twice a year, and every time I see him, it's, you know, we have Bhagavatam class, we have kirtan, and maybe I get to see him for 5 minutes or something, a personal darshan, 10 minutes a year. He never really chastised me. So what is my position if I need to be chastised? About the foolishness of the materialistic class of men, we should remember that in one sense that means us, because here we are. We were materialists. And certainly the remnants of that consciousness are still there in our heart. So when the spiritual master speaks about the karmis, or the materialist, or the materialistic concept of life, we shouldn't think them and us. This is very dangerous. Them and us. We should think, yeah, speaking right to my heart. Right to my heart. Because as long as the seeds of material attachment are still there, there is a chance that we could go back out there. I mean, the facts speak for themselves. Prabhupada had 5,000 disciples, there's 350 active in Krishna consciousness. So it is possible that you or me could end up. So when we hear the foolishness of the materialist, the illusion of material life, we should take that to heart. Not that false ego, oh, that means them, or here I am. No, one should honestly be able to evaluate where he is at in Krishna consciousness and take to heart both the revelations of the material life and the spiritual life as well. When the spiritual master speaks in general, actually we should think he's speaking to me. Because just like in the beginning, Prabhupada had a personal relationship with a few of his disciples. But as time went on, Prabhupada accepted many disciples, and they were as dear to him as were his first disciples, such as Umapadi and Mukunda Maharaj, Hare Krishna, and all these souls. They were, the disciples who came in 1976 were just as dear to Srila Prabhupada. So, but they didn't get as much personal association. So, when he came into my Bhagavatam class, he was actually speaking to each and every one of his disciples. And when he speaks in his books, when he chastises the material concept of life, actually he's chastising each and every one of us as we still hold on to this material concept of life. So we don't have to lament that my guru, if one gets the chastisement of his spiritual master, he's very fortunate. Just like if one gets some personal encouragement from the spiritual master, one should not take that lightly. If one gets a blessing or some recognition from the spiritual master, one should not take that lightly. So in the same way, if one gets some chastisement, one is very fortunate. But we're no less fortunate to have the books of Srila Prabhupada, wherein he is encouraging us in so many ways, and he's also revealing our foolishness in so many ways. Just like in Bengali, there's the saying, I don't remember the Bengali, but to instruct the daughter-in-law through the daughter. In other words, the daughter-in-law is a new member in the family. She marries the son. Thank you. So she marries the son. So the mother-in-law, because in India the families live very closely. Now the mother-in-law may sometimes have to instruct the daughter-in-law because she's a new member in the family. It's a little difficult. So what does she do? She instructs through the daughter. She chastises the daughter. She encourages the daughter. And this way the daughter-in-law is looking. Oh, yes, this is how it's done. This is what they like. This is what they don't like. And this way she begins to learn. So in the same way, Srila Prabhupada is instructing all of us through his transcendental literatures, through his life, through his past, etc. Whenever we read books, we should think that actually he's speaking to us. Just like Krishna didn't, you know, go through all the trouble to speak the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna just for Arjuna. As we know, if we all can identify with Arjuna, actually. Arjuna's bodily attachments to his family members, his weakness of heart in taking up, you know, Krishna consciousness, we can all identify to a greater or to a lesser degree Arjuna's mentality. So actually, Krishna is speaking to all of us through the personality of Arjuna. So Prabhupada was speaking to the whole world in his personal instructions to the few disciples who were able to associate with him personally, and certainly he's speaking personally to the whole world through his Bhaktivedanta purports. What applies to one and all. If A is equal to B, and B is equal to C, then what is relevant to A and B is also relevant to C. So directly or indirectly, the spiritual master is instructing us, sometimes he's chastising us. And in the presence of the spiritual master, our pride is very much diminished. Just like in the presence, a candle, the brilliance of a candle is diminished in the presence of the sun. That's why although we have Vani, and we stress Vani means the instructions of the spiritual master, we also understand Vapu is necessary. Vani is the most important thing because the instruction is always there. Sometimes the Vapu is not there. But the Vapu is also essential because in the association of our spiritual master, and by spiritual master we mean also any person who inspires us in Krishna consciousness, any person to whom we want to follow in devotional service. Any devotee is more advanced than us in Krishna consciousness. In association of the devotees, the process of devotional service intensifies. So in particular with the spiritual master, while he's living, we should take as much association as possible. Because after his departure, that type of association is no longer available, at least in this lifetime. So we need to be chastised in order to be put in our place. Just like one time Prabhupada was sitting with one devotee named Garga Muni. He's one of the first devotees I ever met. And Garga Muni was saying to Srila Prabhupada, this preaching in Africa is a waste of time. Because he wanted his brother, Brahmananda Prabhu, to come to India. Garga Muni was preaching in India. So he told Prabhupada, what is this use of preaching in Africa? It's simply a waste of time. Because the people are too backward. All the Negroes there, they can't become devotees. So then Prabhupada said, you are thinking Negroes can't become devotees. That's because you're in a different body. You're in a white body, and that is your bodily prejudice. But from my point of view, I'm seeing you as foolish. I'm seeing you as a white Negro. So Garga Muni was devastated. He walked out of the room and he said, Prabhupada called me a white Negro. In this way, his pride was diminished. So until we come to the proper understanding, jivasurupoya krishnara nityadas, we must be exposed as the fools that we are. And actually, we consider that like a cleansing process. We like to be clean. In the material world, they have a saying that pride feels no pain. It's very difficult to instruct a materialistic person who's very proud, isn't it? Pride feels no pain. But as far as devotees are concerned, we like to be exposed for our foolishness and get on with the real business of Krishna consciousness. So we welcome hearing about our cause or the attachments that we have within our hearts to this material world. And therefore Janaka Pandit said that one can only chastise a son and a disciple because they're the only ones who are ready to accept it. So we should be in that mood, ready to accept whatever is necessary to advance in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Yes?
No, as you were saying something about the aroma of a materialist is the pride, is that right? So also, I sometimes would have said that some of that, an indication of pride, is that true?
I never heard that. Someone is oversensitive?
Yeah, in other words, if someone's really sensitive,
heard that one. It's not in my Proverbs book. I got a Proverbs book. That's what I got. That's what I got. Pride feels no pain. Never heard that one. Oh. Because a proud person doesn't like to receive instruction, so he's sensitive when you correct him. But someone who's humble will say, oh, thank you very much. You know, Prabhu, you're lusty. Oh, thanks. Wow, Prabhu, thanks for seeing that. Could you explain to me how to get rid of it, you know?
No.
Someone points out something like lust or anger. We already know Krishna says lust, anger, and greed are the three gates leading to hell. So they got to be in there. Otherwise, what are we doing here? So someone says, you're really greedy. Thanks a lot, you know. Can you show me how to remove that greed?
Isn't it that sometimes we only define or think of pride in relation to someone who's arrogant, very out of the point, but pride is also tied to concerns. Isn't that what's
going on? One could be proud of being a devotee, a big devotee also. He may know that if I go around and I tell everyone I'm a big devotee, they'll think I'm proud, but actually if I just don't say it, then they'll think I'm really humble. So the sign of a proud person is he wants everyone to recognize him. So the best way to get freed from pride is to recognize the good qualities of others and actually to show that by devotional service, to serve others. I think I mentioned one time, Prabhupada said the best way to get free from pride is to do menial service for the Vaishnavas. Because we're doing so much menial service, but then somehow or other, you know, after a while we don't do the menial service. It's the safest position is to do the menial service. I mean, I came from the Sundam a few days ago, and I immediately went to the kitchen to see who was washing the pots, and it was an uninitiated devotee. Who was washing? Who was back with me? Bhagavad.
Huh?
Jeremy. So, you know, difficult position, like everybody else is there, you're scrubbing the dirty old pots alone in the kitchen, you know, you're doing devotional service. So sometimes it's good to get back in the kitchen there and, you know, scrub the pots all alone and don't tell anyone you did it, right? Did you hear yesterday? I washed the pots all by myself at the Sunday. I'm so humble. Such menial service. So menial service is very good to curb the pride and help us remember, because actually that is our position, that we're simply menial servants. My way. Frank Sinatra had a song like that. My way. I was thinking of that recently because I'm traveling with Krishna Prema and Nitya Tripta, they're both senior devotees, but we're very much different. So when it comes to like organizing a program, I have my way of doing it, you know. I did it like this in Poland, you know, and I want to organize it like this. And then I was thinking, you know, why are they thinking they should do it some other way? And I thought for a moment, well, actually their way is also pretty good. So why should I think that my way is necessarily better? So I tried it. Maybe it's because I'm puffed up, you know. I think my way is better. I probably said the best plan is the one that works. You have your plan, I have my plan, and Krishna has his plan. So living in the devotees, in the association of devotees, means yes, you know, A, B, and C may be good, but it means give and take sometimes. It means sometimes we just have to think that, you know, somebody else may have a better way of doing it, and we'll let the other devotees try. There's pretty big movement. There's a lot of space on this earth. There's a lot of places you can go and preach. But, you know, we should be able to recognize the sincere efforts of the other devotees, and that it also fits into the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Unity in diversity. Although there's many different ways, it can be unified if we're actually doing it to please Krishna. And cooperation means sometimes that we should let the other devotees' ideas become prominent. Means that, you know, we're concentrating on the good that we've done, and we haven't looked clean the house for my mother. I'd sweep everything. I didn't want to, like, get the pan out, put it in the pan, take it in the garbage, just, you know, sweep it under the rug, like they have that saying. So to think like that means, yes, okay, we've done, we're at this stage, we've got a long way to go. So we're only defeating the purpose by not being able to take instruction. And we're more concentrating more on the good that we've done, rather than being honest about ourselves and realizing that we've got a lot more work to do. And we can't do that by ourselves, but we need the mercy of the Vaishnavas to teach us how to do it. So it takes a little bit of self-analysis. Ultimately, Prabhupada said that the spiritual master can give so much instruction, but ultimately we have to fly our own plane. It's not that, you know, we're going to be like dragged back. We can be dragged back if we stick closely to the instruction and are always willing to follow, but you know, we have to be ready to open our hearts and take whatever instruction is necessary. Any other questions? Okay, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Dai Gaura Chandra ki.
There was a comic strip like that in Holland. Little girl, the first frame, She comes home. Parents are watching television. Mommy, Daddy, today I learned to smoke marijuana and shoot heroin. That's okay, okay, we're watching TV. It's okay, do whatever you want, no problem. She'll get over that. Next frame. Mommy, Daddy, today I become a punk. Look, I shave my head, I have a very funny haircut. I have pins and needles through my noses and my ears. Nose and ears. She'll have one nose. That's all right, honey, that's all right. Just watch it. Next day, she's 14 years old. Mommy, Daddy, I'm pregnant. I got pregnant today. That's okay, everything's okay. Just, you know, take your dinner's on the table, sweetheart. Watch the TV. Next day. Mommy, Daddy, today I became a really good gambler. I can play really good poker. Blackjack. Oh, that's good. You're only 14 years old. You're learning so many things out there in school. Very good. So the last frame of the cartoon, she comes home, you know, got a nice pretty sari on, very clean, shy, chaste, nice flesh on, she loved. But so when our devotees, no matter what, where they come in the material world, if they're, when they become devotees, they look like jubilant dancing with God, this Vaikuntha, they come straight from Vaikuntha. So, Mommy, Daddy, today I've given up intoxication, I've given up illicit sex, I've given up gambling, I've even given up giving up meat eating, killing a cow, and I've become a Hare Krishna devotee. What? What nonsense? Turn off the television! Test to his wife. Turn off the television! What is this? What is this nonsense you're doing? What? Have you become crazy? Are you a fool? You've done what? You've become a Hare Krishna? People are so foolish. They don't know what is to be done and what is not to be done. There's no their intelligence is, they're so intelligent, but their intelligence is stolen by illusion. They have intelligence that we must give them credit. Here we have one microphone, we have video machine. They have some intelligence, but they misuse it for Maya, for sensual gratification. So, and they're adverse to Krishna. So, what to do? Krishna's Tri Yuga avatar. He comes in three ages. So, shouldn't he also come in Kali Yuga? If the Lord is Bhaktivatsala, of all his transcendental qualities, his greatest quality is his compassion for his sons and daughters in the material world. Krishna has so many wonderful qualities. Ananta Shesha, the Lord is known by different names according to his pastimes and his qualities. Ananta Shesha is chanting a different name of Krishna every second. Yasoda Nandana, Nanda Nandana, Murari. So many names Krishna is calling. Ananta Shesha. He never says the same one twice. Because God is unlimited. Actually, God has no name, but his names are given according to his transcendental pastimes. So, Ananta Shesha is always chanting so many different names of the Supreme Personality of God. He has so many wonderful qualities. But supreme amongst all his transcendental qualities is his love for the living entities. That is his most wonderful. Bhaktivatsala. He's the lover of his devotee. He cares about his devotee. So, Krishna came in Satya, Treta, Dupura. And what about Kali? How did he come in Kali? Tri Yuga avatars. And he were bereft of the Lord's mercy. He's abandoned us. As Jesus said on the cross, my true Lord, why have thou forsaken me? Of course, there's another deeper meaning to that. Perhaps he was praying the Buddha's separation. My dear Lord, why hast thou forsaken me? Great devotees pray in that Buddha separation. Separation from Krishna is even more intense than meeting Krishna. People love the same. Anyway, we may not know his particular consciousness, but he was a great soul, so perhaps the people love him. Why else is it? But what about the fallen souls in Kali Yuga? That was the mood of the Dvaitacharya. 5,000 years ago, the Lord left. And in a very short period, what is 5,000 years out of 427,000? It's nothing. Kali Yuga lasts 427,000 years. And just the very beginning, 5,000, everything's gone to hell. So So much so that in Navadvip and Mayapur Dham, which is the transcendental abode of the Lord, 500 years ago, before the appearance, 550 years ago, before the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, the name of Krishna was not even mentioned. The holy Dham, you would not hear anything of Krishna, of bhakti, of devotion. It was jnana, logic, jnana, knowledge of Brahman. These are the things that were going on. The jnanis were discussing their dry speculation, 1980, it's not this, it's not that, it's not this, it's not that. Jnana, logic. Trying to understand things from this perspective of logic, speculation. So these things were going on. Navadvipa, Mayapur, these things. An eternal Dham. Nowhere was the name of Krishna to be heard. Nowhere was the science of devotion being practiced. So Advaita Acharya, he appeared before the Lord. Actually, whenever the Lord descends into this material world, he sends his associates, his devotees, his friends, his family members first, just like a king travels with his entourage. 5,000 years ago, when Krishna came, Lord Brahma went to the ocean of milk, and he said, "My dear Lord, please come. It's such a bad situation. Bhumi, she is so upset. You please come." So a message was transmitted, Hridaya, in the heart. Yes, I will come. You tell all the demigods, start taking birth to assist me in my transcendental lila. Different great personalities, they precede the Lord to set the proper stage for his transcendental pastime. Krishna is never alone. If you see a picture of Krishna alone, that's Mayavadi. Krishna's never alone. You see Krishna, picture Krishna in the clouds. That's not Krishna conscious picture. Krishna means his devotees and their loving service. Krishna's never alone. So the Lord sends his devotees. So Dvaita Acharya, he appeared before the Lord. And when he saw the terrible condition of this Kali Yuga, where people were bereft of Krishna consciousness, he took his Shalagram Shila, and he worshipped Shalagram with Tulsi. He prayed, "My Lord, you are the only one who can bring it down. Now it's so bad, only you can do it. Only you can do it." It's like talking about Bhaktivinoda. Just a few hundred years after that, again the situation had deteriorated. Therefore, Prabhupada said, "Don't change anything. Don't change. Do everything as I have told you. Don't add or subtract. Then Krishna consciousness will be successful." Of course, our responsibility is to do more than that, but at least if we can do that, not change it. So the nature of things is always changing in this material world. So, just after the appearance of the Lord, so the things that just... Bhaktivinoda Thakur, even after Mahaprabhu, a few hundred years, things had already deteriorated. The Vaishnava devotees were taken as debauchees, the sahajas. There were so many sahajas. There were some Vaishnavas, but most of those posing as Vaishnavas were rascals. Cheapening this process of devotional service, using it for material means, So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he tried so hard to re-establish Krishna consciousness. He was a pioneer of modern-day Krishna consciousness as we know it. Perhaps it's always been. So when he was getting ready, he knew he would someday leave, so he had to pray like that also. "My dear Lord, after I leave, who will take over your mission? Please, my dear Mahaprabhu, you send someone from your own camp. You send one of your own men, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One of your own men, you send him down here because only such a person can continue this Sankirtan movement." So he described that person as a ray of Vishnu. "All glories to his divine grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada ki." That person was Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. So his appearance day will be celebrated, I think, here in a few days. How many wonderful stories. Sometimes, you know, the problem has to be taken charge of by those in authority. Sometimes we try to figure out, we're so frustrated, we have to go to Kala's office. We just can't figure it out. All right, it's very easy. Sometimes the Lord has to come personally. Sometimes somebody from Mahaprabhu's camp has to come personally. Krishna consciousness is a personal philosophy. Persons, we're dealing with these great transcendental personalities, so we take shelter of such transcendental personalities. But sometimes the Lord, he has to come personally. So Advaita Acharya was saying, "Unless you come, I don't see anyone else. It's so bad now. It's bad enough when the materialists are entangled in their activities. But it's worse yet when there's no one there to deliver them. That is the duty of the transcendentalist. As Prahlad Maharaj said, I don't want to go back to Godhead myself. What about all these fools and rascals who are rotting in material existence? What about them? That is Vaishnava. Vaishnava is compassionate. How is he compassionate? What is the opposite of compassion? Envy. So a devotee can be compassionate because he's not envying anyone's position in this world. He doesn't see that the people are enjoying. He sees that they're suffering. A neophyte devotee, they think, well, it looks like they're enjoying. I mean, you know. But a devotee, Madhyamadhikari, one who's a preacher, who sees God, who sees the devotees, who sees the demon and the innocent, he can distinguish what is what. He knows a demon because the demon is engaged in various activities and verses. He sees the innocent. They may also be entangled. With a little touch, they can also be made devotees. So, Advaita Acharya, he had the vision of a Vaishnava. He was the perfect Vaishnava. He was Mahavishnu avatar. So he saw the situation of Nadia, not the fleet. He still had supreme compassion. He called upon the Lord to descend. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishna Shangu Pam Krishna Vaishnava Yapnai Sankirtan Payarajan Yisvaita. So, yes, Krishna is Triyuga avatar. But those who know the secret, the confidential secret of the Vedic scriptures, they know the Lord also comes in Kali as a devotee. Had the Lord appeared as the Lord, as he did in previous ages, then that would not be right. Because we already have so many gods. Duryodhana and Narayans walking around Haridwar and Rishikesh, you know, Om Narayan, Om Narayan. They're already thinking they're God. Such is the situation in Kali Yuga. There's a God in every corner. So that propensity would be, it's already there, would be increased if Krishna came. Oh, that is a good God, I'll become God like that too. It's like when I was becoming a devotee, well, before I became a devotee, I wanted to go to see different spiritual groups. So I met one yogi, said he was God. I didn't know very much, so I said, no. Well, God. Of course, it will only be $50. Oh, okay. God was all merciful. I don't have any money. He wants to get money and he wants to become like me. So then, okay, so one day we're waiting for God to come to give the lecture. And, 45 minutes later, 1 hour later, someone came on the stage crying, sobbing, oh, what's the problem? Oh, Swami, Gopinananda, or something. Krishna said, Swami, he has just been killed in a car crash. I'm thinking, God has been killed in a car crash. How could God be killed in a car crash? God is, I mean, at least I know this much, God is all powerful. So, couldn't he stop the other car? It's not like this. So many cheap gods. So, Lord Chaitanya had come as Krishna had come as Krishna, then everybody would want to imitate. So, no. They want to imitate Mara. You follow me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Hare. That is Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is the teacher taking the part of the student. So then Prabhupada says, so sometimes the teacher does that. If you see the teacher and takes the pen of the student and writes A, B, C, don't think that the teacher is learning the alphabet. It's for our benefit. Whatever the great souls do, they do for our benefit. So austerity, penance, sacrifice, it's mentioned in Gita, should never be a bad. Even the great souls must continue performing. At least for those who are less fortunate to show the way and show example. So Lord Chaitanya comes and he enacts the Sankirtan movement. And he plays a part of devotee. Of course, those who know the science of devotional service, there are various indications that he is God. Not that we accept with blind faith, but through Guru Shastra Sadhu. There are various references in Upanishads, and of course there's that verse from the Bhagavad Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam. Those who have sufficient intelligence, they'll worship the Lord, accompanied by his associates, by the performance of the Sankirtan Yajna. So the Lord, he manifested all the symptoms of that personality, that Mahapurusha, that great personality, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And along with his brother, Nityananda, they are dissipating the darkness of ignorance. Krishna does come in Kali Yuga, but he comes in a hidden incarnation. He doesn't come. Sri Yuga avatar, all right. But Kali, he also comes, but not directly as Krishna, hidden incarnation. And his purpose is the same. So one may say his purpose is the same. Vijanaya sadhunam. He gives pleasure to the devotees and he annihilates the miscreants. So how is Lord Chaitanya annihilating the miscreants? Everyone is miscreant. So that means no one would live. So what is he doing? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. He's destroying their demoniac mentality. Just like with Brahma. When Brahma committed a sin, sinful activity, he chased after his daughter, Vak, to have sex with her. So what could be more sinful than a father chasing his daughter for sex? So then he was instructed to give up your body. That is the injunction for one who is very sinful, like Chota Haridas. Lord Chaitanya was very strict with the sannyasis. So Chota Haridas, he went to beg rice from an old woman. She was that young, beautiful woman. She was an old woman. And he asked for a few grains of rice to serve the Vaishnavas. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so strict. He was thick like a thunderbolt and soft like a rose, according to the necessity. He ostracized him. He said, only thing he can do is give up that sinful life. So Chota Haridas jumped in the Shangam. The Shangam, Allahabad, Prayag. The Ganges, the Jamuna, the mystic Saraswati, and something that he gave up his life there. So one has to give up the body. Of course, when one of our devotees did the same thing, one of our sannyasis did the same thing, he had a fall down. Then he read this purport, so he went and gave up his life. The prophet heard about that. He said, he's simply avoiding service. What is this nonsense? So what is the deeper understanding? That's why before we do anything, we have to confirm with the devotees. We shouldn't do anything important without first confirming with the devotees. With the shastra, with the sadhus, previous sadhus and devotees, everything should be taken in consultation because Krishna's mercy becomes manifest through the Vaishnavas. That is the understanding. Krishna's mercy becomes manifest through the Vaishnavas. Therefore, Prabhupada said, anyone who wants to be Krishna conscious outside the association of devotees and living in hallucination, we should always stick very close to the association of devotees. So, Brahma was instructed to give up his body. So what did he do? He gave up his mental body, which became fog. He didn't give up, he didn't kill himself, but he gave up his mental body. Basically meaning, what is the mental body? He gave up his material desires. He abandoned his material desires. So, Lord Chaitanya, he destroys the demoniac mentality of the living entity by pouring upon them the transcendental names of puts out that consciousness by pouring into them, chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. He kills, but he kills a demoniac mentality. Most merciful incarnation. The karmis have a bomb like that. I mean, a new bomb, a neutron bomb or something like that. They're so intelligent. This bomb, generally what happens when a bomb explodes, it destroys the whole city, right? So when the entity comes in, there's nothing left to rebuild. But there's one bomb now that explodes over the city, and all the radiation filters down and kills all the people, but it leaves all the buildings. It leaves all the cars, it leaves all the offices. So the enemy can explode this bomb 10 miles over the city, and just, you know, a few months later, drive in, and get everything to enjoy. Just, you know, throw the bodies away. Very intelligent. So Lord Chaitanya, he's the most intelligent. So he knows that if he had to kill everyone at this age, then no one would be left. So out of his mercy, he destroys the demoniac consciousness of the living entity with the transcendental sound vibration of the holy names. Shanga Panga Shaparshada. He comes with his weapons and his soldiers, but instead of carrying the mace, the gada, the sword and so forth, his weapon is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That is his weapon. What a wonderful weapon. And he acts as transcendental pastimes like that. And even the people who are adverse to chanting, still they have to take. That is Gauritai. Actually, Gauritai are so merciful that they don't even accept offenses. Therefore, before chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, we must chant Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudeva Gaurabhar. Shri Shintai Gaurachandra is so merciful that they don't accept offenses, they just accept the service. Of course, that doesn't even take advantage of that, of commit offenses in worshipping their transcendental forms, but they're so merciful, they don't accept offenses. I told a story the other day in Sydney. That is the nature of a very compassionate person. He doesn't accept the offenses. So once I had an operation, throat operation. So they gave me one drug that made me very light and so forth. So they were wheeling me into the operating room. And in the hallucination of the drug, it wasn't really an hallucination, it was just gradually making me sleepy, but still, I looked up and I saw this person wheeling me into the operating room with a big mustache. So I thought, under the influence of that drug, I thought, oh, he's a Muslim, he's a Muslim. Actually, he was just a Frenchman with a big mustache. Christian with a big mustache. I thought, he must be a Muslim. And so I said, yes, even you are so fallen, you are a Muslim man. Even if you chant Hare Krishna, you'll be delivered. Is this person talking about a Muslim man delivering Hare Krishna? He told me later, after he said, you were calling me a Muslim man? I just chanted Krishna, you were saying something about being gored by a boar and chanting Hare Rama, and what were you talking about? So then they wheeled me into the operating room, and then they gave me the other injection, and then whoosh, boom, I'm out. But in the middle of the operation, I woke up. There was some mistake, I woke up. And again, under the influence like that, I saw all these people around me with knives. One doctor's hand was down my throat, they had his microscope, they did the operation by microscope. So, they had masks on, so I was sort of sleeping. I thought, this they're trying to kill me. These people are trying to kill me. I think I thought I had to cut my throat. So I went, poof. Also, there was blood everywhere. Yeah, they're trying to kill me, there's blood everywhere. I smacked the doctor right in the nose. So, this is not a very nice thing. The doctor's the one who's trying to help me, smack him in the nose. So afterwards they wheeled me out, I also woke up, I saw blood. I said, God, they must have made a big mistake, there's blood everywhere. Later, a couple of days later, I was able to speak, the doctor came back in. He still had a puffy nose. I said, gee, Doc, I feel like sorry about that. I didn't know what I was doing, So the doctor said, anyway, he said, I understand. I think you were under the influence of the anesthesia. He said, boy, you pack a pretty mean punch. I said, yeah, I was right up on the other side of the track. He said, a mean right. He said, Doc, that was my left. You should see my right. That's all right. So that's the nature of a compassionate person. He understands because of it, under the influence of this illusory medicine, some of the Lord, he understands also. People are so fallen. They're under the influence of the three modes of material nature. Lord Chaitanya is so merciful. No matter what they do, still they get his mercy. One time, Lord Chaitanya, he manifested himself, he manifested his full spiritual potencies to each of his confidential associates, each of his devotees. So different devotees had different desires to see the Lord in different transcendental ways. So Advaita Acharya, who is Mahavishnu avatar, who's the source of all the universes, the Lord took great pleasure in manifesting himself as the universal form. But one day he had this desire to manifest himself as a boar. Varaha. So he went to the house of Murari Gupta and he manifested his form as Lord Varaha. Murari was completely bewildered. What is happening? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying, bore, 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 bore. You know? He was in the mood of picking up the earth which had been flung into the Garbhadak ocean by Hiranyaksha. So the Lord was enjoying it. Krishna's avatari, there's many avatars, but Krishna's avatari, that means he's the source of all incarnation. So also Lord Chaitanya technically is not an incarnation, he's directly Krishna himself. He's not an incarnation. Incarnation means the Lord manifests a particular potency of God. Rasha Shakti Vidhi Taipa Shruyate. So according to the necessity of the time and the circumstance, the Lord will manifest a particular opulence. But he may not manifest the six opulence. Bhagavan Shwayam Ite Chamsa Kalo Pungsham Krishnashtu Bhagavan Shwayam. All the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions. But Krishna, the original personality of God. Krishnashtu Bhagavan Shwayam. So when Krishna comes, he manifests all six opulences. Therefore we know original person, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, all six opulences were there. He manifested all the six opulences of God. So he's not actually incarnation, although we also can say like that. Because, anyway. So he is directly Krishna. So therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would sometimes take pleasure in showing his various sadbhuja, six-armed form, he joined his pastime one time, showing his different transcendental forms. So Varahi Gupta, bore. So bore, then Lord Bore, Lord Varaha, was talking to Varahi Gupta. There is one sannyasi, he is living in Kashi, and he is saying, I have no arms, I have no legs, I have no ears, I have no eyes, I have no tongue. He is describing, he's such a rascal. He was so upset, Lord Raha. Why is he doing like that, this Mayavadi? So, how are Mayavadis? Because Mayavadis say absolute truth is nirguna. Absolute truth is formless, meaning he has no arms, no legs, they don't know Lord has transcendental form. Yes, nirguna, no material qualities, but spiritual qualities are there. Mayavadis, their philosophy is that spiritual world must be opposite of what is. So form here, no form there. Desires here, no desires there. That is their misfortune. They base all their philosophy on Maya. True conception. Maya conception. So, they're saying that God has no arms, no legs, he has no form. Therefore, indirectly they're saying that God is deaf, dumb, blind. This is an insult. You say you're deaf, you're dumb, you're blind. You have no intelligence, you have no mind. If I say to you, you have no intelligence, Bob. That's not a very nice thing to say. So they're criticizing Lord. So Lord Varaha, he was very upset. He said, who will take care of this nonsense, this Mayavadi philosopher? Actually, who was that? Bhakishananda Saraswati. Bhakishananda Saraswati. So Varaha was so furious. He said, in my incarnation as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I will deliver that rascal. So Mayavadis, we're not allowed to associate with Mayavadis. Asat Sangha Tiaga, Tiaga? Who's the verse? Asat Sangha Tiaga, Evaishnamatar, Shri Shangi, Ekashara, Krishna, Abhaktahara. Along with the injunction of associating. Sadhu Sangha, Sarvashastukhoi, Lavamata Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Siddhihoi. Take the association of Vaishnava. Asat Sangha Tiaga, Evaishnam, Shri Shangi, Ekashara, Krishna, Abhaktahara. There's a do and there's a don't, like we talked about this morning. What's the don't? Don't associate with worldly minded common men who are addicted to money and women. Otherwise you cannot make progress in Krishna consciousness. And also, Krishna avaktahara, those who are adverse to Krishna, that means Mayavadis. Don't associate with Mayavadis. To hear philosophy of the Mayavadis means one will cause one to fall down. So they're also nonsense. Greatest nonsense, but so therefore the Lord, even though Prakasananda was criticizing him, giving him a good right, a left hook, so to speak, taking advantage of our other story, punching someone in the nose, that's one thing, but to insult him with words, that's something else, isn't it? If you punch somebody, that may stay for a few days, but if you use words to insult somebody, that pain can last a lifetime. If you insult someone with a little punch, okay, it goes away a few days later. But isn't it? Someone can say, Prabhu, you're just a nonsense. Like the other day, I heard one little kid call Colin. But one kid punched another kid in Sydney. Yeah. The kid didn't cry. Then he said, "You're just a hamuda." That's the worst word our kids know, unfortunately. "You're a hamuda." As soon as he said it, the kid broke down in tears. 3 days later, the little kid came to me. "Mama, you called me a hamuda. You called me an ass." Last Saturday. So words can also be an insult. And those words can carry deep, pierce deep into the heart. So Pakishananda Saraswati, he was insulting the Lord by preaching his Mayavadi philosophy. Directly insulting the Lord. Even though he was doing such a thing, still the Lord made a plan to deliver him. He went to the camp of the Mayavadis and exhibited the humility of a devotee. He sat down where the shoes were, the sandals were kept. "Well, I cannot come. I am not a lower class sannyasi. I cannot come." Then his humility touched the hearts, the dry-hearted Mayavadis, and they came and they asked him, "Please, you come see me." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so expert that no one can escape the network of his Sankirtan movement. Gauranga, they are so wonderful. So, therefore, today we take shelter of Lord Nityananda. Because without the grace of Nityananda Prabhu, we actually can't get the grace of Lord Chaitanya. There's a saying, "Nayam Padma Bala Inena Katapya." Meaning that without the mercy of Balaram, one cannot approach the Absolute Truth, Sri Krishna. "Nayam Padma Bala Inena Katapya." Without the mercy of Balaram, one cannot approach Supreme Absolute Truth, Lord Krishna. So, there's one verse like that by Narottam Das Thakur, Brajendranandana say, I forget the rest, but he's saying that Krishna has to be Krishna, who is the son of the king of Braja, Nandaraj, he is descended as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Balaram has descended as Nitai. Balaram has descended as Nitai. So together, these two personalities, they dissipate the darkness of the age of color by their transcendental pastimes, or at the time. So, we must take shelter of Lord Nityananda. Balarama, Bala means strength. So Rama means refers to the spirit, spiritual. So by the mercy of Balarama, we get the spiritual strength to advance to Krishna consciousness. So that personality, from whom that strength, that spirit, that is real strength. Real strength is not muscle power. That is not real strength. Muscle power can't save you at the moment of death. I don't care if you can lift, 40,000 kilos, one jump. That won't save you from death. That's not real strength. Real strength is spiritual strength. And by one's spiritual strength, one's bhakti, that is the nature of spiritual strength, one's devotion, one can conquer over the repetition of birth and death. So that is real strength. We don't admire the muscle power. We admire the strength, the spiritual strength of Krishna. So that strength to advance in devotional service, to get the mercy of Lord Krishna, that we get through Balarama. So that Balarama, he's descended as Nithai. And the spiritual master, he is considered to be the potency of Lord Nityananda. By the grace of the spiritual master, we make advancement. That is the principle. Spiritual strength comes from spiritual master, the Lord Nityananda. We get our spiritual strength. So therefore, it's an auspicious day to call upon Nithai, or to please give us the strength to advance devotional service, to serve the Lord nicely. And surely if we call out like that, with full sincerity, then Nithai, he's very merciful. He does not accept the offenses. He accepts only the service. So if we serve Gaura Nithai, then our success in Krishna consciousness is assured by the mercy of Lord. They are very, very merciful. Sometimes when Lord Nityananda, he was very merciful. One time, Haridas and Nithai, they went preaching. So they went to one house, they knocked on the door. And Haridas began preaching. So the person was very adamant, "No, no, I won't chant Hare Krishna, I'm not interested in these type of things, just you go away." So what did Nittai do? Nittai got on the ground and began rolling all over the man's house, breaking all the furniture, chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Everything's breaking, the whole man's whole house is being destroyed. Well, what are you doing? You're breaking all my furniture. You're bringing my house down. So Haridas said, if you chant Hare Krishna, he will stop. I don't want to chant. So, if you want him to stop, just chant her. All right, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Bol, Sananda Prabhu, Ki! They got the mercy. Lord Nityananda is more determined than we are. I won't chant. Chant! I'll break the whole house down. Okay, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Sometimes he can't control himself. Sometimes when they were going preaching, Lord Nityananda, who was Balaram, sometimes they would go to the house of some wealthy person or whatever, and they would be there preaching, and then Nityananda, Balaram, he would look at the girls, the young girls in the house, and he would see them as gopis. So he would make so many advances, forcing girls in the house. So Haridas, Nityananda, will you please stop that? Stop this gopi baba. You're dancing with the gopis in the spiritual world. Here, we're preaching now. We have to deliver. If you start looking at the young girls like gopis and playing your flute and so forth, then what will become of our preaching mission? We'll never be able to go back and tell Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to deliver somebody's soul. They'll throw us out of here as madmen. They'll think we're absolutely mad. You're looking at the girls like they're gopis. So sometimes this was going on. Anyway, so it's also interesting to note that during that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gauritai were preaching. It was all dry philosophy. There was just stay home, study Vedanta, like the Mayavadi philosophers said, you just stay home, study. So Gauritai were so wonderful that they just completely dumbfounded everyone. Actually, this is a very nice verse because it says they are just like the sun and the moon. So, who has ever seen the sun and the moon arise simultaneously? We don't see that. It doesn't happen. It would be just dumbfounding if the sun and the moon arose. Who could imagine the light? The sun and the moon rising simultaneously. But it contradicts the laws of nature. The sun and the moon arising simultaneously. So, Gauritai's pastimes, they contradict both the laws of material nature and what people understood previously as the laws of spiritual life. Contradicted it. Just like the sun and the moon arising, that's contradiction. But the Lord resolves all contradictions by His transcendental lila. So, they contradicted the laws of nature. The Lord comes in His original transcendental form, which is not subject to deterioration. The transcendental bodies. Avajanati ma mudha, Krishna says, the mudhas, they make fun of me. It lasts me when I come in my original form. They don't know it's a spiritual form. But it contradicts the laws of nature. When God comes, He's the supreme controller. He doesn't have to take His birth like an ordinary fool. He doesn't have to grow old. He doesn't have to get diseased. He doesn't have to die. He's God. Like the king, when the king goes into prison, does he have to follow all the rules of the prison? Get locked up in a cell and get fed once a day? No, he's the king. So God is the king. You can come in the world and not be affected by the prison laws in this Durganam. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nitya came in, they contradicted. They contradicted the laws of nature, materially. So spiritually also, they were introducing a process which was not at all understood by the false logicians and the smarter Brahmins and the Jnanis. Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Ata Eva Shanta Bhukti Mukti Siddhikam Akule Ashanta. Bhuktis, the material enjoyers, the muktis, those who want to merge into Brahman, the siddhis, they're all categorized by Krishnadas Kaviraj in the same way. Not peaceful, full of material desires. Only a devotee of Krishna is peaceful. So all these bhuktis, these muktis, these siddhis, they were all there in Navadvipnam. So Lord Chaitanya comes in with something completely different. They were all very dry, austere, false renunciation, like this looks on their faces, and then all of a sudden, here here come these two transcendental brothers singing and dancing in the streets of Nadia with flowing, long, beautiful black hair, anointed with perfumes and beautiful flowers, and sandalwood paper on the beautiful lotus eyes, bedecked with wonderful silks. Lord Chaitanya, he would dress in yellow silk, and Nityananda in blue silk. They have bangles, leg, ankle bells? What is this? And they're saying that this is some spiritual reform movement? This is the Yuga Dharma? But what about staying home and studying Vedanta and repeating our dry mantras and eating one dry chapati? What is this? They're dancing and they're wearing flower garlands. Their bodies are anointed with aguru and sandalwood paste and jewels all over their body and ankle bells. And they're chanting, Hare Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Yadavaya Madhavaya. What is this? They completely contradicted what all was known as spiritual activities at that time. So a very appropriate example, the sun and the moon rising simultaneously. Who could understand? So they convicted all material laws and all spiritual laws as they were known. These two transcendental brothers, Gaura and Nithai, by chanting and dancing throughout the streets of Navadvipa in their transcendental forms and exhibiting all types of ecstatic manifestations of love of God. So much for those Mayavadi philosophy dances. The common man, Nithai, Gaura, Nithai, Gaura. They're really swept up in that Sangatana movement. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was delivering the aristocrats. Prakshananda Saraswati, aristocratic person, Brahmin, sannyasi. He's delivering Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, another Brahmin. He was the greatest logician of his time. Ramananda Roy, a king. That's who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was delivering. Who was Nithai delivering? Who was Nithai and Haridas delivering? You and me. The Jagai and the Madhais. Nithai was going out and preaching, getting wounded,